Welcome to Torah Nechal Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 17. The last perek discussed the conquest of Moab during the times of Sancheriv. This perek contains another masa. The perek begins with the words Masa Damesek, a harsh nevuah against Damascus, which was the longtime capital of Aram. The contents of the nevuah, though, primarily revolve around the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel. Both Aram and Israel were defeated by Sancheriv as a punishment for their joining together against Yehuda, as was described in Perek 7. The focus on Israel is a noted change from the other Masa'os. The other Masa'os, says the Das Sofer, involve nations who have some connection to Yehuda or Israel, whether because they had some role in punishing Yehuda in Israel, like Bavel, or because they have some important historical connection to the Jewish people, like Moab. Aram did not deserve to be the focus of a perek, but was only included because it partnered with Israel in this one battle. Otherwise, they would not have been noteworthy. According to the Barbanel, this perek was told to Aram and Israel when they joined to fight against Yerushalayim. Just as they joined to fight Yerushalayim, they would be joined in their defeat. Both their kingdoms would be looted by Ashur. The harsh nevuah begins, Pasuk 1, Hinei Damesek Musar Meir. Behold, Damascus shall cease to be a city, V'haisa Mi'i Mapala. It will become a heap of ruins. The capital of Aram, Damascus, has existed as a city since the times of Avraham Avinu. It will be invaded by Sancheriv, and the battle will result in so much damage to the city that all the homes will be turned to rubble. This will make the city a ruin rather than a proper city. Pasuk 2 tells us that in contrast, the city of Aroer will just be abandoned. The Mefarshim disagree where Aroer is. Some say there is a Jewish city by that name in Transjordan that was exiled during the exile of Reuven and Gad. This pasuk is teaching us that the cities of Israel were less damaged than the cities of Aram. Other Mefarshim explain that Aroer was another city in Aram that, though destroyed, was still usable as pasture land. After the alliance against Yerushalayim, Israel and Damascus are now forever linked. Pasuk 3, Mitzar Me'Ephraim, the fortress of the northern kingdom, the capital city of Shomron, would no longer be a capital city, and parallel to this, Umamlacha Midamesek, the government in Damascus, would also stop functioning for Aram. The punishment was not just for their capitals. Aram and Israel had worked together to conquer Yerushalayim, so they would be punished together. Ushar Aram kichvod b'nei Yisrael yehiyu. The rest of Aram shall become parallel to the honor of Yisrael. Yisrael is now dishonored because they have been exiled, which means that both will be degraded when they are exiled to Ashur. The perek now transitions to the main topic of this nevuah, which is the kingdom of Yisrael, the kingdom of the 10 tribes. The perek will discuss the exile of the 10 tribes, the positive impact this exile has on Yehuda, and finally, how the attacking nation of Ashur will be punished. This section begins in Pasuk 4 with Yeshayahu contrasting what Yisrael had been like and what will happen to them. They were a wealthy nation with many talented citizens and abundant resources. Yisrael was exiled from their land, and suddenly, Bayomahu, on one day, Yidal Kavod Yaakov, the honor of Yaakov became poor. Yisrael lost their wealth, and as a result, their prestige and value was diminished in the eyes of their neighbors. In addition, Umishman Bisaro Yerazeh, and the fatness of his body became lean. The people of Yisrael were generally wealthy and well-fed, and they starved during their exile. Hunger was not something they had experienced until now. Yeshayahu gives a mashal to describe how complete and devastating the exile would be. He describes a harvest. During the harvest, the reaper gathers bundles of grain with one hand and cuts the grain with the other. He then carries the bundles off. The harvester does not want to leave any potential food on the ground, so he later comes back to collect any wheat that fell during the harvest. Finally, depending on how valuable the produce is, he may go to the fields which are not part of the general harvest as they are poor producers, and he will check for any errant grains that may have grown unexpectedly. The Malbim explains that the specificity of the Mashal describes the Galus precisely. This will be how Sancheriv approaches the northern kingdom. At first, Ashur took most of the nation into exile. Just like during the harvest, one cuts most of the grain. Next, Sancheriv sent his men back in a second stage to look for any people who escaped the initial exile. Finally, he did a final check, Pasuk 6, Kimla Ket Shibalim Be'emek Rephaim, like one who gathers the ears of grain from the valley of Rephaim. Asher checked everywhere to make sure there was no one left. Sancheriv scoured the land, looking for the one or two of Yisrael that they had not yet seen. With this thorough attention to all people, no one would be left behind. Continuing the agricultural theme, the Navi now compares the exile to an olive harvest. During an olive harvest, the trees are beaten and shaken until all the olives have been removed. Sometimes, one or two olives stay firmly attached to the tree. This will be what Yisrael is like after the invasion. V'nisharbo olelos kinokef zayis. Only gleanings will be left, like the cutting of the olive tree. These gleanings, say the Radak, are Chizkiyahu and his group, who will be the only ones left. Often, there may be a few more olives at the top of the tree that the harvesters couldn't reach, which allows a few more olives to escape the harvesting. These symbolize the tzaddikim left in Yerushalayim. Just like the olives were too high to be collected, the tzaddikim in Yerushalayim are also too high to reach. That city is on a higher spiritual level than any other city, so Asher will not be able to touch it or the tzaddikim there. The exile will have an impact on the tzaddikim watching it unfold. The people will have their emunah strengthened. The people left in Yehuda and Yerushalayim will now believe in Hashem, Pasuk 7, Yesheh Adam al Osehu. Each person will turn to his maker, to Hashem. The Radak explains that this first level of emunah is that they will now understand that Hashem created the world. Hashem is Osehu, the one who made them. Next, Chizkiyahu will teach them that as Jews, Hashem has designated them to be holy, and their job is to serve him. Ve'inav el kadosh Yisrael tirena. Their eyes look to the Holy One of Israel. Just as Hashem is holy, they too must be holy. Yehuda will choose not to serve idols or depend on anyone else besides Hashem. They had previously built mizbechos, altars, to serve idols. Their idol worship had some level of control in it for themselves, as they made the idols and altars with their own hands. They would now get rid of their creations, as these deny Hashem's existence. Pasuk 8. V'lo yesheh, they will not turn, el hamizbechos ma'asei yadav, to the altars that they themselves made, v'asher asu etzbosav lo yireh, and they won't notice that which their fingers have made. They won't attribute any success to anything outside of Hashem or even notice that it's there. While, by Yom Ahu, on that day, Yerushalayim will undergo a spiritual renewal. By Yom Ahu, on that day, Yisrael will be Shmama, a waste. The cities of Yisrael will be completely desolate with no one living there. Pasuk 9, Arei Ma'uzo, their strong cities will be Ka'azuvas HaChoresh V'Ha'amir, like the abandoned sites of woods and forests. Asher azvu mipnei bnei Yisrael, they abandoned because of the Jewish people. The pasuk is comparing what Shomron will be like to another time in history. When the Jewish people entered the land of Canaan, not all the Canaanim stayed and fought. Many of the Canaanim and the Amori abandoned their homes to save themselves. When the Jews came to those territories, they were no longer settled areas, but had been overrun by animals and trees that grow when no one tends to the lands. This is what the lands of the Ten Shvatim will be like when Asher comes. It will look like a wilderness. How did this happen that Yisrael could sink so low? Yeshayahu now gives the people of Yisrael Musar, hoping they will change. Pasuk 10. Ki shachakt Elokei Yish'ech, v'tzur ma'uzeich lo zachart. Because you forgot the God who saves you, and the rock of your strength you do not remember. They do not live lives where they keep Hashem in mind. They don't want to remember that Hashem is always saving them. And they have forgotten that it was Hashem who put them in the land of Israel in the first place, and it was Hashem who had established their purpose there. They live lives disconnected from Hashem. Al kein, as a result, titi nete na'amanim, though you plant a plant of pleasantness, uzmoras zar tizra'enu, what you sow is a low-quality plant. The Jewish people take the service of Hashem, the ultimate experience, and exchange it for the service of idols, an inferior substitute. Rav Schwab explains why this happened. The people wanted their lives to revolve around pleasure. It was such an emphasis of theirs that they forgot about Hashem. They instead embraced foreign cultures, serving other gods, rather than remembering the God who they should have been devoted to. Yeshayahu continues with his use of the agricultural theme to explain Yisrael's sin and punishment. Pasuk 11. Generally, biyom etech tisagsegi. On the day that you plant, you see it grow. When a person plants a good vine, it will grow if it is given the proper nutrients and water. Uvavoker zarech tafrichi. And in the morning that you sow, you see it bud, you see it grow. There is a special help that Hashem gives to things to grow. According to the Radak Mitzvah David, the Jewish people initially followed Hashem, and so they were successful. When they were planted in Israel, they grew. At the end of Sefer Yehoshua, it tells us that the nation served Hashem all the days of Yehoshua and his Canaan. After that time, the people began to change. The results were like, Neib Katsir Biyom Nachala Uch'ev Anush, a heap of harvest on the day of sickness and mortal pain. What had been a beautiful harvest turned into rotten crops. Yisrael changed from a nation that served Hashem, led by their Zakenim, their elders, to a nation that served themselves, and therefore did not grow, and they were left with nothing but pain. As a result of the sins and leaving Hashem, the people will be punished. The Pesukim compare the upcoming punishment to a flood. In this case, Asher is the nation that is coming to attack Yisrael and Yehuda as if they are a mighty river. Pasuk 12. Hoi, woe, hamon amim rabim, kamos yamim yehamayun. Woe to the multitude of many nations, like the roaring of the seas, they roar. The army of Ashur, with its combined of the many nations that made up that army, will be as powerful as the sea and will flood the whole land. Very often, when the Navi talks about the pain of Klal Yisrael and their punishment, this is juxtaposed with the justice and retribution that the nations who carry out this punishment will face. Hashem will also punish this nation, Ashur. At first, Ashur is very powerful, and Yeshayahu is again going to compare him to a flood. They are like Pasuk 13, Lu'umim kishon mayim rabim yisha'un. Nations like the rushing of many waters, they rush. They will be powerful, but that power is short-lived, as Hashem will be angry with them and they will flee. These attackers who had been compared to a flood attacking a field of produce will end up more inferior than when they began and more inferior than the people they are attacking. While they were attacking those compared to grain and olives, they will end up kimotz harim lifnei ruach, driven like chaff before winds in the hills, compared to the most inferior of all vegetation. And like tumbleweed before a windstorm. The end of those who attack Yisrael is decisively bad. At first, Yisrael and Yehuda will be scared of them. Pasuk 14, Le'es Erev Vihine Valaha. When it is night, there is terror. When things are dark, meaning uncertain and troubled, the Ibn Ezra explains we may indeed be afraid of these attacking armies. B'terem Boker Einanu. But by the time it is morning, those enemies are no longer there. Very soon after they rise to power, they are no longer around. Hashem may punish us to bring us closer to him, but as for our enemies, ze chelek shosenu, vigora levozenu. This is the portion of our plunderers and the lot of our spoilers. Hashem punishes them and gives them their own portion, which is not good. Hashem does not allow them to destroy us completely. We may suffer, but they are the ones who end up in a worse position, because although they could act as a servant of Hashem, everything they have done is done with evil intentions against the will of Hashem, and so they are punished. In this parak, we learned about how Aram and Yisrael were destroyed because they ganged up and fought Yehuda. Both will end up in exile, with Aram worse off than Yisrael. The parak then explained, by ways of different metaphors, the cycle of sin, punishment, and retribution. We once again learn about how Klal Yisrael forgot their purpose, were punished by a tool of Hashem, and how that tool, in this case Ashur, will end up being destroyed. There is a lesson in this parak. The Ma'am Lois notes how Ashur is compared to a flood that tries to flood the lands. In the Torah, the children of Avraham Avinu are compared to the sands of the shore. The sea always tries to conquer the sand. Every night, the waves dash against the shoreline, hoping to encroach upon the land. Though the tide may rise, there may be erosion, the sea always goes back to its place and the sand remains. In each generation, the nations will try to flood our people and harm us. We must remember that one day they will be gone. They can try to hurt the children of Avraham Avinu, but they will never succeed because Hashem is on our side.
Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.